to the 49th chapter of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 49. And look at verse 13. Start there with verse 13. 13, 14, 15, and 16. Sing, O heavens, look, well, that's a command, isn't it? Look, he says, wait, I'm back up in verse 12. Let's start in 12. Surely these shall come from afar. You're talking about a whole crowd of folks here. A whole crowd of folks have heard the gospel. They're responding to the gospel. He says, surely these shall come from afar. And here he says, look. Those from the north and the west, and these from the land of Sinim. And then he says, sing, O heavens, be joyful, O earth, and break out in singing, O mountains, for the Lord has comforted his people and will have mercy on his afflicted. That's exciting, isn't it? That's exciting. But, what's that but there? Say, Zion don't know whether she believes that or not. Because Zion's a church. Zion's you people. We say that a lot, don't we, when God's made a promise to us and he's going to do something good for us, and all of a sudden we respond, I don't know about that. I don't know about that. That's unbelief, isn't it? But, Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. Stop and think about that. You ever feel that way? You ever feel like the Lord's forsaken you? He's forgotten you? That's unbelief. Well, we have that struggle, don't we? We have that ugly beast that rises up in our minds and hearts, and I don't know. I just don't know where I can believe that or not. You can believe anything God tells you. Anything. Don't doubt a word that God speaks to you. That's offensive to him. He goes on and says, can a woman, God's responding to that unbelief there, talking to Zion. Says, can a woman forget her sucking child, her nursing child, and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely, they may forget. That's a possibility, isn't it? That's a possibility. You've seen that. You've experienced that. You've seen mothers just absolutely forsake their children. Have no use for them. Came into this world by mistakes, and they want to blame God, I guess. Blame something else beside themselves. They'll try to hide their shame. I've read stories about them finding little babies and garbage dumpsters. You ever read that? You've seen that, ain't you? Unwanted. Unwanted. That's a possibility. Yes, it, surely they may forget, yeah. Yet I will not forget you. That's God there, and that's my promise, that's my steadfastness, that's my covenant kindness that I've covenanted upon my children. I'm not going to forget them. No, sir. And here it is right here. See? Or behold, there it is again. Behold! He says, I have engraved you, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. He can't do it. No way. God's people are written on the palms of his hands. Cut into the palms of his hand. You know, the hand's probably the most conspicuous of all the members of the body. I guess, Britt, I've thought about this before. We probably use these hands more than any other members of the body. First out of bed, usually, you know, you get to the bathroom, you turn that warm water on, sometimes the cold water, according to what time of year it is and where you want the water to be cold or warm. But then if you fill those hands up with water, what will you do? Go up to your face, don't you, and wash your face with a couple of handfuls of water. First thing you do. So the hands are the first thing you look at. Most conspicuous. That's what God's, that's why he's written this thing this way. I can't forget you. I can't forget you. I can't forsake you. You're right there before me. You're the first thing I see in the morning. I've engraved you on the palms of my hand. There were some apply this to, I think, to the wounds of Christ. The wounds of Christ which were in his hands. You know, they nailed those spikes through his hands to begin with. Through his feet. And so they were there. He was nailed to that cross. First, extended those hands, extended out. In parallel position and nail to those cross, that cross member of the cross. And they say, well, this could be applied to those wounds that were left in his hands. He wanted them there. And I always remind him of his people. Those that he died for on that cross. And they apply it in several different ways. But they said this was deliberate here, that he was crucified with those extended hands. And first thing they did was nail those spikes, those mean and rigid and rough spikes through his hands to the cross. And he'll look on those marks and remember those for whom he suffered and died. Maybe something to that, I don't know. That's one man's idea. One man's theory. And to me, you know, this is to me now. One of the great blessings is that of a clear knowledge, clear understanding of God's absolute sovereignty. It falls in place here. And one of the things that I see out of that is the many, many things that God delivered me from as a sinner, but I've thought about this many times. You ride down the roads and you see these little houses and places, and there's a sign out front there about advertising palm reading. You seen that? You can go in and get the palms of your hand read. It used to be pretty common, but I don't see it much anymore. Thank God. But anyway, somebody got the idea some years ago that a man's fate is written in the palm of his hand. And there's a lot of people believe that. They do. They believe that. I'm not going to ask you. I'm going to put you on the spot. But people go in there and pay some old gal, a dollar or two to read their fate. She ain't got more knowledge of their fate than the fellow that wants to get it read, does she? And they practice that stuff. But that's superstition. That's superstition. Nothing to that at all. You can't read what God's got written down already in his book. Nobody can. It's just old superstition. But I thought that's one of the great things about God's blessings of his absolute control and his sovereignty over all things, especially over his people. Even before God saved me, he delivered me from such things as superstition. I'm not superstitious at all. I don't believe it a bit. Not a bit in this world. Some people are sold to it, but I'm not. And so, you see, my fate and my destiny is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That was done before the foundation of this world. Right? And it was written with the indelible ink and pen of God's sovereign mercy. It was written there. Nothing going to change that. Nothing going to change that at all. You'd have to rewrite the book of God. That's an impossibility. Impossibility. So I just look at this verse here. I want you to consider it with me. Verse number 16. We'll just look at that one verse and think about that just for a little while this morning. This word behold is one. There's one little single word here that would give us a tremendous amount of knowledge concerning the Almighty God and encourage our hearts if we just stop and think about it. To God, this was very important. He wants us to immediately look at this. Look at it without any hesitation. Behold what I'm about to say here about this engraving of your name in the palm of my hand. This is important. Think about this. This will encourage your heart. You'll go away from here thinking about it and praising God. That God revealed this thing to you. That you, a sinner, have been engraved in the hand of the ineffable, holy God. That's an amazing thing, isn't it? That's a wonder of wonders. It truly is. So this word, it's a demanding word. Immediately, he says, and undivided. Give me your undivided attention. Look at this thing and think about it. This is a word of wonder. Wonder of wonders is here. He said, I have engraved you. Behold, I have engraved you, inscribed you in the palms of my hand. I can't get away from us. What's that telling me? That tells me God can't get away from me. It tells me I can't get away from God. Right? We're bound to God right here in this one little world. Look at this. And think about it. Bound to God forever. Forever. Not just for a time being, but forever. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that just wonderful? Amen. That the ineffable Holy One would engrave in his pure hands, the names of sinners. The names of sinners. Yeah. You know, it's not only a wonder on earth among sinners, but it's also a wonder in heaven, where the angels might well join in the wonder. They wonder about this thing. They're excited about it. Peter wrote about it. Peter said that unto whom the prophets, talking about the prophets, it was revealed, talking about the gospel, and said that not to themselves alone, that is, but to us. They did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel to you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. Which things, he says, which things also the angels desired to look into. They're amazed at this thing. This wonder of wonders. Their Creator. And look at him with amazement and with wonder that their Creator, God Almighty, would open up his hands and take a writing steel, an iron pen, and dip a pen into indelible ink and inscribe every name of the child of grace in those hands. You're there. You're there. Isn't that something? You're there. Never to be removed. That's right. We believe that also, don't we? Never to be removed. Once saved, always saved. Huh? Yeah. Once saved, always saved. We believe that part of it, don't we? Regardless of what the Arminian says, we believe that. Always saved. And just make sure you're saved. Just make sure you're saved. So God himself is the engraver here. He comes on with this next word. I did this. I engraved you. I inscribed you in the palms of my hand. He did it. God is the engraver. It is God himself who engraved his people as an everlasting memorial upon the palms of his hands. You remember the words that Jesus spoke to his disciples? We don't quote it enough. We all think about it every day. He looked at his disciples and he says, now listen to me. He said, you remember this. You didn't choose me, but I chose you. I chose you. He come into this world to establish that fact. It was a body of people that God had already written in the palms of his hand before the world was. And those were the ones he came into this world to save. He said, I chose you. You didn't choose me. You didn't choose me. That's right. If he left us all to ourselves, we wouldn't know which way to go or who to choose. We messed around and chose the wrong one anyway. But he came in this world and made it clear, I came after you. I came after you. You were already in my mind before the world ever was. And so I came for you. You know, no man can ride upon the sovereign hand of God but God himself. No one but God himself. Think about that. Don't forget it. Don't forget it. The Arminian, you know, of necessity, yeah, he must do this. He inscribes his name upon his God, who really has no hands. Now, he would ascribe the name of his God because God... See, they make that confession. They said he has no hands but your hands. He has no hands but my hands. So he's handless. He has no eyes. No eyes but your eyes. He has no feet but your feet. He has no mouth but your mouth. That's a pitiful God, isn't it? That's an invalid. The Armenian's God is an invalid. No, sir. Let me have a God that does it all. Huh? Yes, sir. That's my God. That's my God. So the elect has a different God, don't they? God eternally fixed by the good pleasure of his own will. And there's no blotting out what the immutable God has inscribed. No blotting out at all. Oh, my dear ones, here truly is a marvel. This here is an amazing thing to me. Really greater than creation itself. Nothing can cloud this, my friend. When God created the worlds, it was at a distance that he created the world. He spoke it into existence by word. By a word. But when he created saints, elect, and redeemed sinners, elect sinners. When he did this, he was a God at hand. He was a God at hand. There he is, right there. He stands over them even as a potter and as an engraver. And when the subject is complete, when he completes each and every one of his people, it's absolutely so. He gives them a name and stamps that name or engraves that name in the palm of his hand. There they are forever, established, right there. And there's another thing here I saw, the tense of this thing, it's important. He said, I have. That's important. It's a done thing. I have already. It's complete. It's finished. Can't add to it. Can't take from it. I have done this thing. That's the tense that we have to deal with here. Uh-huh. You see, it's not I will. It's not nor I am doing. But I have. A thing of the past. Over and done. And the poor Armenian has one of their own converted. You know what they do? They join in together and sing. There's a new name written down in heaven. We don't want to do that, do we? That's not so. That's coming way too far behind. Can't do that. No, we rejoice. We rejoice immediately, don't we? That our names were written from the foundation of the world. In the Lamb's Book of Life. Never to be removed. Never to be removed. Another thing I notice here. In this statement. He says, behold, I have graven you on the palms of my hands. Not merely printed. Not merely stamped. On the surface. But permanently cut. Cut into his hands. Matter of fact. You go into the book of Job, and he kind of enlarges on this thing with these words here, this word engraved here. Job said this. He said, oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book. That they were graven. He gets into this word. That they were graven with an iron pen. And laid in the rock of ages forever. And that's it right there. You go back to when God's applying this thing. It was done and complete and done forever. Never to be removed. always there before him. Doesn't that give you encouragement? Doesn't that assure your heart? You're resting in God. It's talking about this faith that we was playing on there a little bit while ago. Right? That's important that we understand where that faith came from. That's Christ's faith. And according to what I read in the 22nd Psalm, Christ, he achieved that faith. It was his faith. He achieved that faith when he was crucified on that cross. And we live by that faith. We live by that faith. We rest in that covenant grace of God by the faith of the Son of God who gave himself and died for us. That's it. Gill said this about this, these words here. He said they signify that his people were always in his sight. Always in his sight. What if we're graved in the palm of his hand? We can't get out of his sight, can we? We're always right there. And Gill goes on and said his eyes were ever upon his people. And never withdrawn from them. Never withdrawn from them. Does that help you a little bit? Does that encourage you? Never withdrawn from them. Is anything held in the hand or tied to or wore upon it as a signet, supposedly, or a ring, supposedly, that has the name of a person on it, to which the illusion may be. That's the way Gill saw it. He says, which shows how near and dear his people are to him. What affections he has for them. And what care he has of them. Well, this is endearing right here. This is something right here that ought to go with you and encourage you every day that you live since you profess the Lord Jesus Christ as your only hope of salvation. Rest in it. This all goes together right here. You don't separate it. This is all together. This is a complete, inspired, holy Word of God balled up into one idea here. Song of Solomon kind of fits in here. Verse number 6 of chapter 8. When the Shulamite said to her beloved, set me as a seal upon your heart. Set me as a seal upon your heart. As a seal upon your arm. For love is as strong as death. And it is. True love is as strong as death. Jealousy, as cruel as the grave. Its flames are flames of fire, a most vehement fire. Can't get any hotter than this fire, this love. This talk about this mutual love, especially that love that comes forth out of God's bosom to his people and enwraps them into his blessed being. Can't separate. Here it is. Many waters cannot quench love. Not this love. Many waters cannot quench this love. Nor can the floods drown it. If a man would give for love all his wealth of his house, it would be utterly despised. This is love of loves. The love that God expresses toward you, his child. You, his people. Nothing compares to it. Absolutely nothing compares. That's right. And some think it might respect, as I mentioned above a while ago, respect the wounds he had in his hands when he was crucified on the cross, which being as on their account are looked upon and remembered by him, or however to be there, being in his hands, out of which none had plucked them. You know what he said over there? God gave us to Christ. And Christ said, no man is able to pluck them out of my hands. Always there. They're engraved there. They're cut into his hands. Can't get them out. They're going to be there. You know, when he arose from the dead, from the grave, and he started presenting himself to his disciples, you remember that occasion on which Thomas doubted, and he said, look, Thomas, see these wounds in my hand? Thrust your hand here in my side, hole in my side, where that Roman soldier thrust that spear. He said, look at this. Look at these wounds here in my hands. Does this not reveal who I am? Huh? And you know, he undoubtedly had left those wounds open. Open. And I think he left them open for eternity. They'll always be there. Always be there as a reminder to you and I in the eternities to come of what our great Redeemer did for us as he came into this world and gave himself in humility to all that he suffered. And he'll bear them. He'll bear them. He'll bear them for you and I, showing us, look, this is what I did for you. You think that I can ever forsake you? You think that I could ever forget you? No. No way. Absolutely no way. They're there. And you're there. You're there with them in my hands. These wounds. You're cut there. Nothing can destroy that. We're together in this thing. And we're there with him. In these indelible proofs of scars and what have you in his body. May God bless you. May the Lord bless you and encourage you to look to him. And never, never rest in anything or anyone but him. Because he's done that for you and for me. That absolutely no one else could ever do. Think about that song again. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. No one. No one. All right, let's sing it. Steve, let's sing that song.